What if I told you that one of the best things that you can do right now for your business is not to keep charging forward, but to pause? Take a deep breath, grab your favorite beverage, take a step back and make sure the business you are building is one you actually want. Because here's the thing, when there is chaos in your business and you are scaling, you are scaling that chaos unless we do something about it. And that is exactly what this episode is about, because it is so easy to end up quickly building a business that is overwhelming, exhausting, or just not aligned. And we sure as heck did not come into business for that. So in this episode, we are hitting pause together. We're doing a mid-year check-in to make sure the path you're walking is one that feels good, is working well, and is setting you up for the kind of success that you want. As a female online business owner with dreams of more income, more impact, and more freedom, you know there's more potential in your business waiting to be unlocked. But figuring out how to shape and transform your biz and get seen, loved, selling, and scaling can feel like, well, a mystery. So how do you cut through the noise, create offers that deeply resonate, sell and scale without you always being on, all while creating a life you love? That is exactly what this show is about. Welcome to Seen, Loved, Selling, Scale. I'm Corinda, your small biz marketing sidekick, digital offer strategist, and online biz bestie. With tens of thousands of digital offers sold, tens of thousands of people helped, and millions of dollars in revenue generated in my own business as a small business owner. And through this podcast, I am here to share it all. You'll gain clear, actionable insights, strategies, and shortcuts to master your online marketing, build scalable online offers, and create a business model that works for you as much as it works for your people, so you can grow your income, amplify your impact, and free up more of your time. Let's get started. We need to talk about something that has completely changed my business again and again. It is something I have been doing for years myself, and I'm so excited to be sharing it with you. I've been doing it with my one-to-one clients. I've been doing this inside masterminds, and it never fails to bring clarity, direction, growth, and some serious excitement to my business when I do it. It also helps to take a second and remove some overwhelm in my business as well, because I know how easy it is to get overwhelmed. It is a simple but powerful exercise that I do multiple times per year. But in particular, I always love to take a deep dive mid-year as it's a really great check-in point for your business. Now, this isn't some stuffy financial audit. This is not a rigid process where we are ticking boxes or color-coding spreadsheets or anything like that. This audit, this check-in is really much deeper than that. It's about alignment, it's about honesty, it's about your humanness, and it is about aligning that with the strategy and direction and offers and steps you are taking in your business. It's really a moment where we're going to start to ask ourselves things like, is this part of my business working? Do I like what I've built? Am I happy inside this? Am I building something I actually want? Is it working the way that I want it to? And if we see any yellow, orange, red flags coming up, we have the opportunity to change those things. Because I truly believe that the best businesses aren't the ones that are the busiest, aren't the ones that are the most perfect, aren't the ones that are most polished, aren't the ones where we're doing all the things we think we should be doing, or we just keep doing because we're in the pattern of doing it. The best businesses are the ones that feel so good to run. And this is what I want for you. This is the joy that I have been able to instill in my own business, where I wake up every day and I cannot wait to do work. I might be doing that work from the middle of Outback Australia. I might be doing that work from Mexico. I might be doing that work from my office. It doesn't matter where I am. Doesn't matter what's going on. Business is always feeling good. And it is because I am always intentionally making sure my business is aligned and making changes when it's not. And I have seen firsthand myself, even just recently, what a check-in like this can do. In fact, in 2024, when I did this check-in in my business, it led to me rebuilding my signature program at This Is Corinda, moving digital product to profit to the Scalable Business School. And that change has been one of the most aligned for me personally, having a program that not only just feels good to run and feels so good to have in the world, but from a business point of view, it is overflowing with income, with impact, and is an offer that is actually so light lift to run and serve and sell as well because of these questions, because of this audit. And of course, that then leads me to look for new, different, changed strategy. So this is really the part that can put you on that right path. So this episode is your invitation to check in, to come back to your center, ask some powerful questions, and use them to recalibrate. So let us dive in and start. So how do we do this audit? So I want to take you back a step and just remind you of a philosophy that underpins the entire way I run my business, the entire way I teach business as a whole, the entire way that I believe build the best businesses. And that is that there are three things that help businesses succeed. And we need to be looking at each one of these equally. And those things are the best offers, the best marketing, and the best you. And when I say the best, I don't mean perfect. I mean the stuff that is actually working and the stuff that is actually building the type of business that you want. So if you know you're not being your best self, this isn't about comparing yourself to so-and-so with a team of 10 or 10 more years experience with you or a different nervous system or whatever that might be, right? This is about being the best you. And we know when we're not being our best selves. This is about having the best marketing for us. And this is about having the best offers for us and our people. And if you think of it like three circles kind of overlapping, like that Venn diagram, right in the middle is where we see the most success in business when each of these things is working. And you can picture it, right? You can have the best offers and the best marketing, but if you can't show up as your best self in these offers or to drive this marketing, even if your business is almost completely automated like mine is, it's still going to require you for some decision making, for some automation to pull this trigger, to pull this lever. Or if you're deep in your business and you're doing all manual marketing, all manual offers, like it needs you so much more. And if it doesn't have you as your best, whatever that looks like, you can really see how it doesn't matter if you have the skills to do marketing or amazing offers if you can't push them out there. Similarly, you can have amazing marketing. You can be going viral on social media. You can have mastered ads. You can be sending so much traffic. You can be so magnetic. You know, you might not go viral, but a post reached 100 people and 99 of them want to work with you, but then you don't have the offers that can actually serve them. Or that is what they're looking for, is it positioned to sell? And similarly, again, you can have the best offers, the best you, but if you cannot market them, if you cannot get them seen, loved, and selling, those things don't matter. And these are the three things I want you to always come back to in business. And every single planning session I do, program I make is really aimed at one of these things or all of them. So the Scalable Business School, for example, covers all of these things. The club covers marketing. But you really want to be asking yourself how each of these areas in your business is going. Because if one of these isn't working, you're really going to feel that slowdown, that burnout, that blocker to results that you have been wanting to get. So what I do is when I do a mid-year audit, there are seven questions that I like to ask myself, and we're going to go through those. But I like to keep in mind those three core areas, my offers, my marketing, and me. And when I'm asking a question, I'm thinking about it from each of these angles. And you can ask yourself right now, how are my offers going? How is my marketing going? How am I going? And you can truly, you are an amazing, amazing person. You need to lean into your intuition. And of course, we have blind spots, but I know that you know if there are areas in your business that need work. And maybe you haven't worked on them because you've felt overwhelmed or a lack of time or a pressure to keep moving forward. Or maybe you've just put your head in the sand, and I say these things because I've done every single one of those things before. So you are not alone. But this is the time to say, it's okay to be imperfect. It's okay to need changes in our business. It is safe for me to acknowledge what is going on and want to actually move forward. And seeing that things need changes don't mean that I have to make these all at once or the next week or two is going to be chaos. It is simply about saying, I'm going to aim to chip away at this at the next 30, 60, 90 days, 6 months. I'm just going to acknowledge it, allow it to settle and recognize that some changes are needed and roll those out and make them. So let's dive into these 7 questions that I love, love, love to ask myself. Now, here's the thing. I want you to listen along to this podcast episode, of course, because I'm going to talk about these, but I also want to give you a copy of these questions. So I want to let you know that in the show notes, there is a link to where you can get these questions. There is also, like, if you go to my Instagram, either This Is Corinda or This Is Co, I've got a keyword automation set up. So if you just DM me the word mid-year, write it all as one word, really important, mid-year, and DM me that, the robot will send you the link to these questions as well. So you can have a copy of that. So make sure you grab a copy for yourself, but let's go through them. So the first question is, what boundaries do I need to look after myself and preserve my love for this work long term? Now, I ask this question first all the time because boundaries aren't just about time. They're actually about energy, expectations, communication with our people in our business. They're about deciding how you show up, how you hold your space, what's sustainable for you. And this question matters so much because when boundaries slip, so does your joy in your business. It can start with small things like a client who's messaging you at all hours, a calendar that's filling up without space to breathe, saying yes to things that don't feel aligned. But over time, it can build and build and it can create resentment and burnout and frustration. And you sure as heck didn't build this business to actually resent it, to want to push it away from you, to want to keep distance between you and it. This should be something that is just so beautiful when it is part of your life. You want to pull it close. You're proud it's there. There's that work-life balance kind of idea that we all have. And I'm not sure if that's even really a thing, but there is this like work-life integration where if I am working, it doesn't feel any worse than if I'm actually living my life. So sure, maybe some days sitting at the beach is a lot nicer than sitting in my office at my laptop. But when I'm sitting at the laptop, I don't have this feeling of dread, of discomfort, of misalignment, of resentment. I am just sitting there thinking, wow, this is cool that I get to do this and it feels really good doing it. And then it's a freedom business. So I'm going to go to the beach after this, right? So there's that integration into things. We do not want to be feeling stretched, over accessed, like we're letting ourselves down. That resentment of like, oh, I'm doing all of this and I'm not getting paid enough for it. Or I resent saying yes to this. Or I am just not acting and being treated the way that I would like. And here's the thing, and I say this with so much love. When those things are happening, so often it's on us. And I get it. There are nightmare clients out there. No one in this community. Everyone in this community is amazing. But before, when I've had other types of roles in the past, this is my third small business. I started with a writing business, then I went to nutrition, and now I'm in obviously marketing and business. But I have had past clients that were like, oh, we needed that yesterday type thing. I have had people that are messaging me at all hours and like messaging at me at like 6 o'clock on a Friday and then 8 o'clock on a Monday being like, I didn't hear back from you. And it's like, I have a weekend. But then it's like, of course they should know that. But did I set that boundary with them to say, I will respond to you within 24 hours, yada, yada, yada. And then if they're not acting within those boundaries, saying to them, hey, remember we set those boundaries, so I'm not going to have gotten back to you during that time because that's my period off work or whatever that may be. And then boundaries are really great for the people on the other side as well, because imagine that person who did email on a Friday night and maybe thought that I worked Saturday and Sunday and just thought that I was ghosting them or ignoring them. Like that doesn't feel great for that person on the other side either. And while you might think it's pretty obvious people don't work weekends, maybe they do. And maybe their friends do. And maybe it's a presumption that you would have as well. And so this is why boundaries are really important for everyone. But why I ask this question first as well is because we don't want that resentment for the business flowing into all of these other things. So just because you have a nightmare client right now, potentially, I don't want you thinking, I need to burn that offer down because we're going to start asking questions about offers in a second. Like, I need to burn that offer down just because I'm not loving it from this perspective. It might be that we need to look at our boundaries around that. So I want you to look through your business mid-year and think, are there any areas where you need to reassess your boundaries? Are there areas where you need to make sure things stay in scope, to set some firmer or clearer boundaries around things? This includes with yourself. Remember, we want to work through this with our marketing, with our offers, and with you. Like, one of the things I did personally for me was set a boundary around my social media use and what that actually looked like. So I could have some firm, clear expectations with myself, knowing sometimes being on social media can trigger things for me, or I can go down rabbit holes, or it could be procrastination. Really setting a beautiful boundary with myself, saying, okay, Corinna, like, you've reached the limit, or you're doing that thing that you said you wouldn't do now. Time to hop off and do something else. So have a look at things like updating client communication, adding buffers to your schedule, saying no to things, making sure programs are in scope, some boundaries you want to set with yourself as well around working, productivity, thought patterns, behaviors, whatever that might be, to really manage your energy and protect your energy and yourself in business, which really is what boundaries are about. Then second question, we want to look at, are the offers I'm building in line with the way I want to live my life? And this question is massive, right? And this is why I started with boundaries first, because obviously offers can be right for us, but they can be feeling wrong because of those boundaries not being in place. And we can tighten that up and have a beautiful offer. But often what I see is that it's not just boundaries that are making offers in people's lives feel not so great. It is actually the offer itself. And I personally had the biggest breakthrough with this question. And this is why my business looks like how it does now, and why students over at the Scalable Business School have the lifestyles and the businesses they have now as well, because they asked this question and they listened to the answer. Again, not in an overwhelming way where it's like, oh, if I admit to myself that this trading time for money, or this one-to-one coaching model, or this type of program that I'm running just is not giving me the life, the lifestyle, the income, the financial freedom, the location freedom, any of those things, the impact that I want, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden I am in crisis and I now need to burn my entire business down and figure this out in a week and transform everything and add all this work into my plate, even though right now I wanted to have like a slower season. It is not about that. And this is so often what our bodies project, that, oh, you know, there's that saying about we would rather stay in a familiar hell than an unfamiliar heaven. And I'm not saying your business is hell at all, but it is that tendency that we have to think, oh, it's going to be too hard to make this change. I better just stay. I better stay here. This is familiar. Even though I don't like it, I know it. And it's not about that. It is about saying, oh, I am going to start to step by step make some changes to move away from this. And in 6 or 12 months, if that is the timeline you want to set yourself, some people might be like, no, tearing it down by 6 weeks, I'm going to have this thing, right? And if that's you, I love that. That's not me. I think that would set my nervous system into like fright. But essentially, what I'm saying here is, if you say, okay, these offers are not serving me, I am starting on a plan to transform. And in 6 or 12 months, I want to have like half the coaching clients that I have right now, and I want there to be a passive income stream in my business. This is the question that starts you on that safe, calm, transformative pathway. And I'm not saying that that's the pathway you need to go down after you ask this. It might be the opposite. You might say, I don't want passive or semi-passive income anymore. I want to do one-to-one work again, right? Like, that might be what your answer to the question, are the offers I'm building in line with the way I want to live my life? But it is a question that needs to be asked, because the offers that we offer directly shape our days, our weeks, our energy levels, our relationships, our family dynamics. Like, I cannot say this seriously enough. Every time you choose to put an offer in your business, it is a vote for how you want your life to look. So if you know that there is an offer that is doing negative things in your life, in your world, in your head, or in your heart, or it's just that neutral energy of like, I don't love it. I know there's better out there for me. I know there's more potential. This is your permission slip to audit that, to admit to yourself that you want to change things and change them. So if you're craving more freedom, but you're always locked on daily calls that's not giving you that freedom, something's off. Maybe that offer needs to be changed to a different model. If you're someone who thrives in deep work, but your offers are all quick turnaround deliverables, you might be fighting your own flow and you might want to set up containers where you can work with people for an extended time. So yes, we want to make offers that are profitable, that make impact for people as well, but we want to make offers that serve us as people also, that can help us shape the life we want, the rhythm of our day, the tone of our week, that long-term trajectory of your business, your energy. So I really want you to ask yourself, do I love how I'm doing my offers, delivering my offers? Would I still love to be running this way in 12 months if nothing changed? And what would this look like if it was easier, more joyful, more you? And I want you to start to make those changes. So, third question, what are things I can focus on to do less but better? And my goodness, this is a question we should be asking ourselves every single day. And you would have heard me talk about this before, because one of the areas that this constantly pops up when we're thinking about offers, when we're thinking about marketing, when we're thinking about you, is marketing. There are so many people out there doing too much marketing and with so much love. There's a trend going around at the moment that says, like, what I'd tell you is your blah, 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 if I wasn't afraid to hurt your feelings. And this is like, what I'd tell you is your content marketing sidekick, if I wasn't afraid to hurt your feelings. Too many people are doing too much marketing at a substandard rate. And this is so often the issue with marketing. And I get it, right? We have this pressure to like be consistent, or we're learning, or any of those things. And it's okay to be imperfect. But what's actually happening is people are just putting stuff out there, putting stuff out there, putting stuff out there. And it's not backed by strategy. It doesn't have deep IC understanding. It's not, you know, the communication that is actually connecting, compelling, converting. It is maybe just something that you saw a creator put out there that had a lot of likes and you think, maybe I need to do that. And you just get on this content hamster wheel of putting stuff out there that isn't actually pulling people in. So this is one of the biggest areas where when I do this audit with people that I see come up, where it's, where can I focus on doing less but better? It is so often marketing, taking that step back and saying, how can I do this better? But there are other things as well. And of course, you want to have a look at this in your business in terms of your marketing, your offers, and you. But that is one of the areas I definitely, definitely see. And making shifts in here to ask that question and say, what do I need to do this better, can change everything. So I want to talk through some other areas that you just might consider asking this question. So for example, it might be like actually optimizing your current offers instead of launching something new. So that question before might have you wanting to launch something new, and that's okay. But if you have some great boundaries in your offers and you love them, but you think they actually don't sell as well as they could, it's actually a little bit hard for me to sell them, how can you optimize them? How can you look at the way you are talking about them, your messaging, your positioning, your traffic? When we talk about how to get them seen, loved, and selling, think about that process. How am I getting seen? How am I getting loved? How am I getting selling? How can I optimize each of those things for more performance? Is it about focusing on one channel for your marketing and doubling down and doing it brilliantly? Is it about being in less places, essentially? Is it refining your onboarding so your clients are wowed from day one and you can reduce churn in your business, increase word of mouth, increase upsells, have them staying for longer with you? Is it about taking one of your best performing funnels and improving conversions in that by 10% and really just making that your focus instead of always thinking, oh, I need to put a new offer up, or I need to do this, or I need to do that? Is it just about doing what you're doing but better? Because these small refinements compound, and they don't just make things more efficient. They don't just make you sell more. They give you back more space as well. And at the end of the day, isn't that something we all want in some type of different way in our business? And I'm not saying space is in like you just want to sit down, but maybe you want extra time to exercise, extra time with the kids, to read a book, to do that passion project, to whatever it might be. When we do less but better, we take more space back without sacrificing income or impact or results or growth. So really reflect, where does it feel like you have kind of just spread yourself too thin, or you might just be winging it or going with the status quo in your business, and you think, if I actually went back and revisited that, went to the foundations, to that deep work, did some optimizing, whatever it might be, things can improve. What is already working or has the chance to work, but how can you make it work even better? So that was question number three. Question number four, how can I balance client work with my business development? And this one is sneaky, because doing client work can feel like we are working, because we are, right? But it is the kind of work that, apart from that income and impact that comes in directly, may not actually ignite our business to the level that we want to. And we need to balance that, right? You're incredible at delivery. Your clients are happy, but your marketing slips, you slip, your development slips, your optimization of your offers slip. And so often they are stuck in this cycle of like, I'm busy working, but I'm not growing. And so I was definitely in one of these cycles as well. And the way that I busted out of this cycle was putting my low ticket offer in place. And I know you've probably heard me talk about this before, if you've been listening to the Seen Love Selling Scale show, but it is actually one of the offers where people say to me, I don't have time to create an offer, to do more marketing, to do blah. I say, what we need to do is find a small bit of time to build a low ticket offer. Because once you put that low ticket offer out there, that is one of those things that help us take back time. It is one of the only offers that actually like optimize our entire business for us. And that is because when we have that out there, it is lead generation. It is extra visibility. It is income on autopilot. And what that allows us to do is maybe step a tiny bit back in our marketing, and then a lot bit back in our marketing eventually once we get this really, really flowing, because what we can do is automate this visibility. It allows us to maybe not need to do so much nurturing of our leads because the product actually nurtured for them. So we may need less discovery calls, less sales calls, whatever it might be. There's a thousand different things that I could list off here about how this gives you back space, but the point is it does. And this is one of those things where we want to ask ourselves, how can I balance client work and my business development? And if you actually go through these questions one by one, the first three questions as well help with this. Is it also boundaries? Is it a different offer type? Is it doing less but better? Are those the answers to find better balance in your business? Because we need time in our business to make sure that we are able to work on the business as well as in the business as well. Next question. Now, this is a big, broad question, but I want you to break it down again to offers, marketing, and you. And I want you to be really honest with yourself, and I want you to write down the first things that come to your mind. Do not try and sugarcoat it. Do not try and excuse yourself out of things. But the question is this: what don't I like about my business, and what can I do to change that? This question is one that sounds so obvious, but so often, again, it is that head in the sand. It is, I just have to stick with this status quo because it's making me income, or it's making me impact, or it's the way everyone else is doing it. But people actually aren't leaning in and saying, I don't like it, I'm not going to do it anymore. You know, one example of this for me was literally doing Instagram Reels, which at the time of recording this podcast, I'm still not doing them. I am doing some work behind the scenes, which is fun to actually like find Reels that are more alignment because I love to yap, as you know, right? And so like, I want to get back on Reels. It's a great way that I can do talking heads or whatever. But all that aside, one of the things I was struggling with was I was not liking Reels and it was creating this resentment, this like sense of like unalignment in my business, all of these types of things. I said to myself, I'm not doing them anymore. And that's okay. And there was so much fear for me that came up when I said, I'm not doing Reels. Like I work in content marketing and externally, there is this perception that you need to do Reels to market. Now for me, I know from my philosophy, that's not true. As your content marketing sidekick is one part of the things that I do here to serve you, I actually know that the vehicle for your marketing message is way less important than the message itself. And I've been having huge success since I've moved to single posts and carousels. Like my business has not dipped at all. If anything, it's even stronger than when I was messing around and avoiding the platform because I thought I had to do a reel. But from an outside perspective, I thought, oh, people will judge me and think, oh, she's not doing reels. How can she teach content marketing? Even though reels have nothing to do with content marketing, they are just one way to deliver a marketing message, right? But there was fear in that, but I had to do it anyway. Because if we get this idea in our head that we have to be doing something or once something's built, we can't change it, that if we've committed to a structure, an offer, a way of working, that we're stuck with it, that idea is just so not true. And in fact, it builds businesses that feel like golden cages. And on an even bigger level than just me, you know, and the place I'm in with Reels at the moment, it was when I went from corporate and I stepped into my business, This Is Co, not as you know it now, the old This Is Co, when I was a full-time plus some service provider. And I basically built my business the same way I had my 9-to-5 structured, but it was a 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. now. And it was very structured and regimented and this has to happen and this goes out and this comes in and blah, 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 blah. And I had to say to myself, like, I don't like how this feels. This is a golden cage. And I set out to change it again by implementing that low ticket offer to give myself back more space to then put in place like my membership and signature programs that you see now. But you need to ask yourself, what do I not like? And what can I do to change that? What drains you? What annoys you? What are you tolerating just because it works? What can't you see yourself still doing in 12 months and be happy with it? This is really what you need to be asking yourself. And if things are coming up, it is time to make the change. You are the CEO of your business. You are literally in control of it. And I understand we have bills to pay and commitments to finish up on. And this is not about burning your business down, firing every client. This is that. I don't like it. I'm going to set a plan to chip away at changing this. And I'll tell you right now, this is how businesses are transformed. I see it every single day in the Scalawa Business School. We chip away, chip away, chip away. A few months down the track, we look back and think, oh my gosh, look at what I have done in the way of like least overwhelm, least resistance. This is incredible. All because people decided to make that change. Then the next question, question number 6, we're almost at the end, but you can see these are deep questions. We only need 7 of them to get where we want to be. Question number 6 is, what do I love about my business and how can I do more of that? And this question gets overlooked so often when we are auditing things, but it matters so much because it's not just fixing the hard parts in business when we audit. It's about amplifying the parts that light us up, the parts that energize us, the parts that make you go, oh my gosh, I am so glad this is part of my life. It might be the moments that you get to go live and connect with your community. It might be the rush after an amazing client call. It might be not having any client calls that week, right? It might be writing content that pours out of you, dreaming up new ideas with your notebook and coffee, like whatever it is that you love doing, how can you build in more of that? Don't just notice these moments, but actually plan for them, prioritize them, make more space for them. And again, we've been through a whole list of things that can help you make space by working through question 1 to 6 or 1 to 5 so far. These are the types of things that give you more space, give you more freedom, give you more flexibility, tighten things up so you can do more of this good. And then question number 7, where are my income opportunities and how am I planning to harness them? So we've had a lot of like intuition, energy, building a business that actually serves you type questions. But now I actually want to talk about the literal income that your business is bringing in, because we are in business for a whole range of reasons, but one of them is going to be to make income to live the life that we want to live. Otherwise, we'd be volunteers if income wasn't on our radar somewhere. So I really want you to ask yourself, what are your income opportunities now? So where can you increase acquisitions or conversions on an existing offer? So how can you improve your sales page, add urgency, learn more marketing that you can apply, doing less but better? So it might be that you might run 2 great launches every year instead of selling 24/7, or it might be 2 great launches instead of 3, kind of, oh, that didn't really work, better panic and do another one quiet thing, right? Could be, where can I improve my value ladder to better serve clients? And value ladders is what I swear by in the online business world, to really make sure we have our customer journey planned out for people and that we are not in this like scattered offer ecosystem where nothing really fits together and you don't know what to sell and you've got programs overlapping each other and you don't know where to put your focus and you're like, what the heck? It's like, no, come into my world here. Go up to this next thing, go up to this next thing. And each one of those things should have its own people and profit pathway to move those people up, but to also move people from the outside world into them. So for example, I'll give you an example, my low ticket offers to the Content Mastery Club, to the Scalable Business School. That's my value ladder. Now people move through that pathway beautifully. And I have my people and profit pathways to move them through automated. My entire business is automated or evergreen or really light lift launching. That's my model. It's what I teach in the school as well. You get to pick what you want for you. What I also have is pathways where people can join the Content Mastery Club and the school without ever having been in any of those other offers. And so this is really what I want you to start to think of. Do you have this kind of pathway that people can move through your offers and then people can move seamlessly into your offers as well? And if not, it's time to review that, because it's one of the unspoken secrets of online businesses that this is really a way to structure your business that just changes everything. Asking yourself, are there low lift offers to increase revenue? I call this quiet cash a lot of the time as well. Are there upsells, downsells, passive offers, anything like that that you could be putting in? If fast cash is needed, can you run a campaign? Can you run a flash sale? You don't always need a whole launch for something. Sometimes you just need a smart spotlight. And of course, all the things we've already talked about hopefully is helping increase your income as well up to this point as well. But mid-year is a really great opportunity to ask yourself, am I happy with the income I'm making? And of course, you might be newer in business and that's okay. You might look at the projected to be like, yep, I'm growing month over month like I did 1K, then 1.5, then 1.5 again, then I did 2, then I did 2.2. And your goal might be 100K months, right? But you can see you are on a growth pathway that's completely normal in business. You might want to start speeding that up and you might think, need to look at my value ladder, or I need to look at a low ticket offer, or I need to look at my people and profit pathways, whatever it might be. But you want to take this opportunity to ask yourself, am I growing the way that I want in terms of income? Or if you're more established, am I making the income I want? And if not, how can I make more? And remember, it's not about doing more. So often it is actually about having a system in place that helps you do less but better as well. So there you have it. That is your wrap up of those 7 questions that I really want you to pause, reflect, and use to realign your business for the next 6 months. And again, you can do this anytime, but I find mid-year is a really great opportunity to pause, collect ourselves, and not just push forward for the next 6 months, but actually make sure you are walking the right path? And again, to get those questions, head to the show notes or jump over to either of my Instagrams, this is Co or this is Corinda, DM me mid-year, all one word, and the robot will send you the link to get these questions as well. Grab your favorite beverage, sit down and truly be honest with yourself about what it is that you are going to shift, tweak, or use to supercharge your next 6 months. And as always, I will be here to help you to do those things as well. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Seen, Love, Selling, Scale podcast. I hope today's episode left you feeling inspired, fired up, and empowered to make serious moves that align with your goals and version of success, both in life and business. If you loved what you heard, head over to www.thisisco.com.au to find all the links and resources mentioned in today's episode. And if you aren't already following the show, make sure you hit that follow button so you never miss a future episode when it drops. I'll see you again next week, same time, same place, same goal to get you seen, loved, selling, and scaling. See you then.